Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia welcomes you to our weekly time of worship and study of God's Word with Pastor Jesse Wagoner. So sit back, relax, and get comfortable, because when you're here, you're home.
I've been thinking about the time. And where does it go? How can I stop my life from passing me by? I don't know. I've been thinking about family, how it's moving so fast. I wake up one morning just wishing that I could go back. I've been thinking about lately, maybe I can make a change and let you change me. So with all of my heart, this is my prayer. Singing, oh Lord, keep me in the moment. Help me live with my eyes wide open, 'cause I don't want to miss what you have for me. Singing, oh Lord, show me what matters. Throw away what I'm chasing after, 'cause I don't want to miss what you have for me. Keep me in the moment. Oh, keep me in the moment. Keep me in the moment, 'cause I don't want to miss what you have for me. When I wake up in the morning, Lord, search my heart. Don't let me stray, I just want to stay where you are. All I got is one shot, one try, one go around in this beautiful life. Nothing is wasted when everything's placed in your hands. Singing, oh Lord, keep me in the moment. Help me live with my eyes wide open, 'cause I don't want to miss what you have for me.
What you have for me.
Singing, oh Lord, show me what matters. Throw away what I'm chasing after, 'cause I don't want to miss what you have for me.
What you have for me.
Keep me in the moment.
Keep me in the moment.
Oh, keep me in the moment.
Keep me in the moment.
Keep me in the moment, 'cause I don't want to miss what you have for me.
What you have for me.
I've been thinking about heaven and the promise you hold. So it's all eyes on you until the day you call me home. Singing, oh Lord, keep me in the moment. Help me live with my eyes wide open, 'cause I don't want to miss what you have for me. Singing, oh Lord, show me what matters. Go away when I'm chasing after, 'cause I don't want to miss what you have for me.
What you have for me.
Keep me in the moment.
Keep me in the moment.
Oh, keep me in the moment.
Keep me in the moment.
Keep me in the moment, 'cause I don't want to miss what you have for me. Keep me in the moment. Oh, keep me in the moment. Keep me in the moment, 'cause I don't want to miss what you have for me.
It is a great thing to worship our Lord together, and hope you enjoyed that great worship song. Appreciate all the folks that went to make that possible. And welcome to our weekly time together in worship in the Word. Glad you've joined us today. If you'd ever want to watch as well as listen to our worship times, let me encourage you to visit our website, calvarywv.com, and there you can watch full online services. You can see the people who are singing, and you can watch along with all the graphics and so forth as I share God's Word. So once again, that website address is calvarywv.com, and you can watch as well as listen. Also, I know many times ministries such as this online are supported by the gifts of God's people, and that's a great thing, but we don't need a gift. This is coming as a gift to you from Mount Calvary Baptist Church. We pray that this will be a gift to you today as we continue in worship.
We are all looking for a place to feel at home. Pastor Jesse Wagoner and the congregation of Mount Calvary Baptist are ready to welcome you, because when you're here, you're home. With their warm, welcoming environment, you will feel right at home as you experience the life-changing power of Christ. Mount Calvary is located at 1509 Bigley Avenue in Charleston, West Virginia, at the Westmoreland exit, half mile north of the I-64-I-77 split. To learn more, visit calvarywv.com.
Well, in all likelihood, there is no shortage of people in your life who's telling you how you should live your life. Sometimes we welcome that input. Sometimes it comes unsolicited. But we're in a section of Ephesians chapter 5, and I hope you have your Bible available to follow along with us, where he's telling us, Paul is telling us, God is telling us, how we can live out this great calling of who we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's already told us at the beginning of this chapter that we need to live in love, walk in love is the words he uses. He also tells us that we are to live in the light. And we looked at that last time we were here in the book of Ephesians together. Today we're going to talk about living in wisdom, to walk in wisdom. So in love, in light, in wisdom, that's what he's talking to us about. Now you might think, when we think about wisdom, usually we think in a particular direction. Usually we think about we want to impart wisdom, we need wisdom imparted to us. Usually we think in terms of information. We usually direct that attention to the head. But in actuality, when we think of wisdom, even though we usually think of the head, as you're going to find out in this passage, God directs his attention and he directs us to have our attention focused not on the head, but on the heart. Who we really are, what we really want, who we love, how we're responding to God's place in our life, how we're thinking about others as opposed to ourselves. He focuses on the heart. And that's what we want to do today as we get into the scriptures and focus on the heart. So I want to draw your attention down in Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to begin reading in verses 15 and go all the way through verse 20. So if you have a Bible, please follow as I read God's word. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he directs his attention to our hearts, our heart's condition. And I want you to direct your attention to your heart today. Let this just be a good kind of a spiritual cardiac update, an examination to help us understand who we are and where we are. And may this just call us back to walk in wisdom, and we'll see that unfold. If we're going to walk in wisdom, if we're going to direct our attention to our hearts, first of all, we need to have a heart that is described this way, and I'll describe it this way, a heart that is seeking his will. Now that by definition means we shouldn't be seeking our own will, but we need to be seeking his will in our lives. So back to verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. The first aspect of this reality that we need to be seeking his will, that our lives should be about him, pleasing him, not us, directed by him, not by us or by other external sources, but that we need to be directing our thoughts to him, comes down to this reality that we need to have careful living. We have a heart that is seeking his will through careful living. And that's what he talks about. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means a life that is examined, that we look around, that we see what's going on. We look before we step. So much of our problems in life are caused because of our impulsiveness. We just see, we think, we react, do, without any stopping and thinking, well, what may God want here? What is best? How can I avoid evil and how can I embrace righteousness? What's going to bring the most glory to God? How can I seek to understand the next step? You know, looking around, someone described this once to me as they were sharing this passage with me. He said, imagine a cat walking across a narrow picket fence, across the top of a narrow picket fence at night. And on one side of the fence is one very aggressive bulldog, and on the other side is a very aggressive Doberman, and they're barking at the cat. He says, what's the cat going to do? It's going to be making sure every step on that fence is landing in the right place. We don't want to veer off this way or this way, but we're being very careful with every step. We need to be careful in our living, and we need to look around. We need some thought. That's why we need to be in God's Word. That's one of the reasons we gather for worship, so that we can have an examined life. We also need other people in our lives. If you go back to the book of Proverbs, there's much attention given to a person described by the scriptures as a fool. This is someone who's not allowing other people to speak into his life and certainly not allowing God to speak into his or her life, but just thinks he's got life figured out, or she thinks she's got life figured out, is never wrong, never makes a mistake, don't need anybody. He says that is foolish living. That is not living a careful, thoughtful life. So he calls us back to invite others, who are especially those who are followers of Christ, but ultimately the scriptures and what God wants to say to us. Be thoughtful in your life. And he goes on to say this, It says, not as fools, but as wise. There's that word fools that I was just referencing back in the book of Proverbs. But as wise. Wise is not just about being smart. It's not about having information. It's not about how quickly we can process information. It's not about how accurately we can process information. It's about making the right choice based on the information we have and, most of all, the leading of God. It is the practical use of knowledge. It's putting it into place so that we put our feet down in the places we should, and we avoid putting our feet down in the places that we should avoid at all costs. So thoughtfulness through careful living. And I want to encourage you to do this. I want to encourage you to ask some questions. Just ask God to look into me, to see what is going on. Is my heart where it should be? Am I walking circumspectly? And as we ask questions about ourselves, there's some areas we need to probe. First of all, about our progress. Our progress of, am I growing stronger? Am I sensing God's strength in my life? That's probably a good indication that I'm walking in wisdom and I'm living appropriately. Maybe we could bring it this way. Is there change going in my life? Am I making progress in my life? Am I finding joy in this in spite of circumstances in my life? Those might be good indicators that as I'm walking through life, as he says here, walking circumspectly, not as fools but as wise, I am making progress. So we look for the progress in our lives, but we also look for problems in our lives. Now, I understand we can be doing everything right and still have problems in our lives. Sometimes there are things that God allows to test us and to stretch us and to grow us. Sometimes it's just by the result of living in a sinful world that we have problems. But if life just isn't working very well, maybe we need to ask, maybe I'm not really paying attention. I am getting myself involved in areas and ways of thinking and influence of people and activities that just really shouldn't be where I should be. And one of the key things of looking at our heart is, am I living to make a name for myself? Or am I living to lift up the name of the Lord who loved me, made me, and has saved me through Christ? So think about the progress, think about the problems, and as we ask those questions, it's going to help us have a careful, thoughtful, circumspect type of living. And he says, we don't want to be fools. We want to be wise. In verse 16, he adds to this. This is the second part, through careful living and through wise living, the second part of this. He says this, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Particularly, he puts this emphasis. We live in very evil days, and this was true in Paul's day. It's seeming to us anyway, even more true. It's hard to make a real true comparison, but we live in evil days. So we need to buy up our opportunities to do what? To live wisely. Buy up our opportunities to what? To maximize our progress. To what kind of opportunities are we trying to find? To avoid the problems that are self-generated because of our lack of carefulness in living. So he tells us that because the days are evil, we redeem the time. We buy up every opportunity. We take advantage of every opportunity. We leverage every opportunity as an opportunity for spiritual growth and spiritual development. Now, we have to ask some questions here. We need to think about this of, okay, what is my heart's like? Am I using the time? And by the way, we all have the same amount of time. We have the same hours in a day, the same days in a week, same weeks in a year. That is true for all of us. But look what it says in the scripture. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. So buy up every opportunity. Don't miss the opportunities that God puts in front of us to live in wisdom. You have opportunities to make some right choices today. I want to commend you for one you've made. You made a right choice by worshiping with God's people, by listening to His Word, by interacting with God's Word. So make sure we do that regularly, daily, and we do it as best we can with other believers gathered together around His Word. Now, we have a heart that seeks His will. Secondly, we need a heart that is submitted to His Spirit, a heart that submits to His Spirit. If we're going to live in wisdom, we need to have a life that is seeking His will. And by the way, next verse, therefore do not be unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. See, God has a will that He wants to be lived out. He gets to make the decisions. Why? Because He's God. He made us. He owns us. He redeemed us by His own blood, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are seeking His will. And by the way, I want to encourage you to let that be a constant pursuit of your life, a passion of your life. Lord, what do You want me to do? This moment, this decision, this day, over the course and the whole general scope of my life and the direction of my life. So we seek His will. That's part of wise living. But then this heart that submits to the Spirit. Now I want to take you down to verse 18. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, he makes a very powerful, very visual comparison of letting the Spirit control us with being controlled by, as he says here, drunk with wine. So a person that consumes too much alcohol becomes intoxicated, and that eventually begins to affect their judgment, impairs and changes their physical reactions. That's why drunk driving is so dangerous, because the person driving that's inebriated doesn't have the same coordination or awareness as somebody who is sober, and could lead to all sorts of disaster, as you well know. So he says, don't let that control you, but let something else be the controlling agent. It's sort of like that. It's that controlling agent. But he says that leads to, and the word here is not one that we're real familiar with, dissipation. It means it'll pull you into all sorts of things you would not do otherwise. And how many of us understand that when something is controlling us other than God, we're going to wind up in a wrong place, whether that would be a chemical, that would be our own selfishness or whatever. So laying that aside, to wind up in a destination we don't want to wind up in, what should we do? We need to be submitted to His Spirit. It says be filled with the Spirit. Now, filled is passive. It's not something we actively do. I'm going to fill myself. No, we allow Him to fill us. We get ourselves out of the way. We submit ourselves to Him, and we make this new mindset. Lord, I'm going to allow You to control me. I don't want to behave like I've always behaved. I don't want to react like I've always reacted. I want You to control me. I believe You're there. I know You're there. And it comes back, and I'm going to use the word again. We depend on His work in our lives. We make a faith decision that He is here in my life, and I depend on Him. In this case, and we've talked about this kind of contrast between do and doing and trying and trusting, but here it's much on the depending stage, because it stayed in the past. We just depend that He's there. We count on Him there. And I'm going to avoid those other influences that seek to control me, and I'm instead going to depend on the Spirit of God to fill me, be filled with the Spirit of God. And, you know, the work of the Spirit is subtle. Sometimes we can't put it into an equation. We can't always see it. But we have to come to this level of dependency, this level of knowledge that says, indeed, He is here, and He's in charge, and He wants to now take control of my life and be filled with the Spirit. We talked a little bit ago about looking in our heart, finding those areas of progress, of seeing strength and change and progress and so forth. In Galatians, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit. We looked at some of those last time when we were earlier in this chapter, back in verse 9 of chapter 5, where he talks about some of the fruit of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit is producing. If we find that fruit, it's an indication that that is going on in our lives. Okay, that's the evidence of what's going on inside. So we need to live with this mindset that we allow His control. Lord, You take charge. You be in charge. And that requires us to ask some questions that we need to say to ourselves and ask ourselves. Are there any outside influences that need to go? Am I filling my mind too much with the wrong stuff? Am I spending too much time and just entertaining myself rather than informing myself from God's Word? It also tells us that we need to get ourselves out of the way. Because oftentimes, just like wine can control you if you have too much, alcohol can control you to be to the point of drunkenness, that could happen. He says, if you allow anything to come in there, it's going to start exerting influence and changing our thinking, changing our reactions, and we'll wind up in that bad place. So part of what we need to do is just say, Lord, I want You to get myself out of the way. My self-determination, my self-will, trying to make a name for myself, trying to appear good, trying to prove something about myself. And we don't need to prove anything. The only thing that's been proven is how much God loves us and how much He accepts us in the Beloved. And I want to just encourage you to do that. It says, now also, not only is this passive, be filled with the Spirit, but it also is in the present tense. It's continual. We must continually allow His control. This becomes the normative, everyday, moment-by-moment experience of us as a believer. Now, it's not that we need more of the Holy Spirit or any such thing. We already have the Holy Spirit if you're one of His children. But He needs to have more of us as we allow Him control. And this is the continual thing. This is not a one and done, all right? This is a standard operating procedure for us as believers from salvation onward. And the great news is we have the greatest resource imaginable. God himself, in all of his power and all of his knowledge and all of his perfect character, he wanting the best for us, that's who's in charge. Well, let him be in charge. Let him be in control. We need to switch from those outside influences, from the self-influences, to say, Lord, you be the influencer. You be the controller of my life. And the question we ask is just simply this, and this is where we do some real diagnostics in our heart. Lord, help me understand and ask ourselves this question, who is in control of me? Am I in charge? Am I acting like I'm in charge? Am I at least pretending like I'm in charge? If that's the case, then we need to set that aside and say, Lord, this life is yours, even with all of my messiness, even with all of my baggage. Lord, you indeed be in charge. And I just lay it down at your feet. So let's review, and then we'll get into the next step we want to talk about. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Have a heart that seeks his will. How do we do that? Through careful living and through wise living, meaning taking advantage of all those opportunities, all those days that are evil, and we live in an evil environment. We need to really watch where we put our feet down. Take a good look at what's going on inside. And secondly, we must have a heart that submits to the Spirit. We allow his control, and then we continually allow his control. And that's what we were just talking about. And then he gets into this next section, 19 and 20, where it really in some ways is a result or of this that has come from before. It's a result of the work of the Spirit. It's a result of the submitting. It's a result of living wisely and circumspectly and so forth. But it's also part of what we set our sights to do. This is what a life and a heart that's walking in wisdom, living in wisdom, really, really looks like. So he says to us, this is what we need to be. And he says in verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to God, to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to have a heart that not only seeks his will, not only a heart that submits to his Spirit, but a heart that celebrates the goodness and the place of God in our lives. Do you have a heart that celebrates? Is a little celebration going on in your heart? Do you ever have little internal celebrations where it's just as if we're shooting the confetti and we're singing and that sort of thing? It's kind of what this is all, celebratory. And there's three directions that this celebration goes, and we need to think about all three of those. First of all, it is to communicate God's goodness to others. Maybe we could say it this way. We really should communicate to one another. Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So we speak to each other. You ever think about when we're singing? We've had singing in this service. We do it in our in-person services. But singing sometimes is telling each other what the truth is. We're talking about the love of God. We're talking about the place of God. We're talking about what we want to do. You know, we want to come to before God, and we want to live this moment for him. We want to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time. Lord, we do that in song. So it might be a song about God, a song to God, a song to remind ourselves. But in these spiritual songs, we're telling each other. And notice he says it this way. In psalms, which is the psalms from the Old Testament, the book of Psalms. Hymns, which is sort of that which says something to God. A hymn typically is a song that extols God. It says something about his holiness, his greatness, his goodness, his love. And then spiritual songs are songs about our Christian life, our Christian living. All those need to be in play. And singing and making melody in your heart. Notice it's not just external, it's internal. Here he gets back to the heart. It's not about the head, it's about the heart. It's not just about saying words, having great melody and great rhythm and great instrumentation and great vocal talent. It's about making sure our heart is expressing something to each other that is powerful and meaning. Sometimes we think of, well, the worship and the singing is just sort of the preliminaries to the preaching of God's word. No, it's a both and. The singing is that which also lifts our heart to God, and the preaching, the teaching, the contemplation of God's word is equally important as well. But he says, making melody in your heart. And there's something about music, though, that takes concepts and truths and makes them sticky. You ever have one of those songs, get a little song or a jingle stuck in your mind and just keeps playing over and over and over and over again? Well, there's something about the hymns and the songs of the faith and the spiritual songs that we sing. They need to get stuck in our heart. It makes concepts sticky and it's in there. and we express that to others. Now, there's another place it is directed. We need to communicate His goodness to ourselves. That's that making melody in your heart to the Lord, end of 19. You see, we need to fill our mind with truth through the Word of God and also through the singing, because that takes now God's Word and just incorporates that into our lives, and we express our joy of what's going on in here outwardly with our singing. Whether we are good singers or not, whether we're great musicians or not, the melody and the joy comes out. You know, one of the things that we live in a day where there's all sorts of opportunities for us to take psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and direct them inwardly for us to sing. We do that in church. We do that in this online broadcast. There's recordings. There's podcasts. You can find songs online. We put music that we sometimes will archive, special songs that we put online, and sometimes we'll get hundreds and hundreds of views on those, where people have taken that song and just taken it to heart. Maybe you need to do this, at least consider this. If you don't have your heart right, maybe we need to turn down the volume or limit our access to the songs that may be good, nothing wrong with them, a song about love or life or experience, but make sure we allow some of the soundtrack of our lives and our minds to be psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, just to feed our own souls. There's another direction as well, and that we need to communicate God's goodness back to Him, and that's verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can do that in singing. We can do that with our words. We can do that with our obedience. We can do that with our heart. It needs to come from our heart. You see, the heart that celebrates His goodness is a heart that is living wise. A heart that submits to the Spirit is living wise. A heart that's seeking His will is a person who's living wise. To live in wisdom, we need to communicate God's goodness to Him, and He deserves to hear it. Yeah, we may have fragmented thoughts and feeble voices, but God loves when His people express our love and our appreciation, our thanks back to Him. He deserves it. We have every reason to. Why? Because He is God the Father. That's what it says in the text. And we do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has saved us. And I hope you're enjoying Him as your Savior. Let me just take a moment. Perhaps there's someone watching today, someone listening today, and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. I would encourage you to understand that you need a Savior. The only way out of the mess of this life, and more importantly, the judgment that comes after this life, is through a Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is that Savior. He died on the cross to pay sin's price for us. And in His death, the payment is made. Now we need to receive that gift in faith. Say, Lord, that is for me. I take that for me. I count on that for me. I appropriate that for me in faith. If you need help with that decision, we'd love to have a conversation with you. Maybe there's a Christian friend or relative that could also have that conversation, just to help you completely understand. They can direct you to some key places in the Word of God where it talks about faith, it talks about salvation, and claim these promises to hear directly from God. If you need to be saved, we give you that invitation. But for us, here's the question. Are you living in wisdom? Are we living in wisdom? Well, what does that look like? I've tried to answer that directly in the Word of God this morning. It's a life that is simply this, that is seeking to do His will, finding what the will of the Lord is, and discovering that will, and living in this life of redeeming the time, walking circumspectly, being careful in what we do, a life that is seeking God's leadership in our lives. And then a life of wisdom is someone who is submitting to the Spirit. He's there to change us. Let Him be in control. Don't let other things control us. Let the Spirit of God control us. And then we celebrate the goodness of God. A heart that's celebrating is a heart that's walking in wisdom. We speak to each other. We speak to ourselves. We speak to God Himself. Words of celebration, words of praise, words of thanks. He's waiting to hear from us. Here's the question. Just ask it again. May you take this before the Lord, and may I take this before the Lord and say, Lord, how am I doing? Are you living in wisdom? It's my prayer for you and myself that we as God's people will live in wisdom.
Thank you for joining us for this time of worship and study brought to you by Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Charleston, West Virginia. If you are in the Charleston area, we would love for you to worship with us in person. For service times and more information, visit our website, calvarywv.com. Until next time, may His blessing be yours.